Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
If you've been told your joint pain is just part of getting older, that stiffness, tightness, and limited movement are something that you just have to live with, this episode might completely change how you see your body. Because what if it's not your age? What if it's the way your body has learned to move, compensate, and protect itself over time? I'm joined by Jeff Bailey, founder of Avita Yoga and author of the powerful book, Mobility for Life, Healthy Joints, Strong Bones, and a Peaceful Mind. And so he's going to teach us today about what is actually happening with your joints. Your joints aren't breaking down. They've just never been taught how to function properly. Jeff, thank you so much for being here. It's wonderful to see you. How are you doing?
Hey, Lisa. Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show.
Good, good. I see the yoga mat behind you, so I'm assuming you practice consistently.
Yeah, I practice what I teach. I do. I have a very consistent practice. And it's not something that I tout, really. It's not something that I try to really promote and get better at. It's just something that works. And I think we're going to get into what makes Avita Yoga so unique and why people like me are just naturally inspired to practice it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to get into it because so many people are told that like sore muscles and joints is just part of natural aging. And so many people are stuck in these patterns and they don't know how to feel better. So why is joint pain so strongly tied to aging? Why do most people think that?
Yeah, well, it's sort of the status quo when it comes to aging. We tend to blame just about everything on aging. If it's not aging, then it's the way I played football in college, or the extensive cycling that I did for 10 years. You know, what we tend to do, whether it's aging or something else, we look for an outer cause and effect, and we, in a way, it's sort of a way of not only not taking responsibility, but kind of beating ourselves up and putting the responsibility, in a sense, outside of ourselves. And most will agree that the moment we start to take a little gentle responsibility for the way we see things, we don't have to take responsibility for the things that don't really work for us and things like that, but we start to take responsibility for the way we see it. And that just means, wait a minute, maybe I don't have to blame aging. Maybe I don't have to blame the activities and things I did. Maybe I don't even have to blame, oh yeah, my sedentary way of life. And because the moment we blame, we put the solution outside of ourselves. And this yoga is really about taking very gentle responsibility and addressing the pains, the restrictions, the things that seem to limit us and age us. So that's what I think we're going to get into here.
Yeah. So tell us that when someone feels stiffness or pain in the body, can you tell us what's actually happening? Is it really wear and tear, or is it something else going on?
Well, pain is a signal. Pain is just telling us that something isn't quite right inside the body. And mm-hmm. What do we tend to do when we feel pain? We just want to get rid of it. It's like the old axiom that we've heard, shooting the messenger, right? Does it really do any good to shoot the messenger? It's there telling us, hey, there's a problem out here. Let's beware. Let's do something to address it. And So we have pills, we have medicine, we have, all different kinds of way to numb or dull or kill or get rid of the pain. Wait a minute. If it's a messenger, how could I actually begin to listen to it and embrace it? A lot of people in their youth, 20s, 30s, the body bounces back pretty quickly. But once we get over 45, 50, 55 plus, that's when it seems like enough time has gone by where chronic pain becomes the signal. And the more chronic it is, the more annoying it is, and we just want to push it away. But I'm here to tell you, amazing changes and amazing good and amazing things start to happen when we very gently start to listen to it. That's number one. Number two, well, okay, Jeff, I'm listening to it. Now what? Give me a solution. And that's where the yoga comes in.
So, are a lot of these patterns? So, you talk about the body learns these patterns and how to move over time. So, are these patterns that we're doing silently creating these pains and stiffness in the body without even realizing it? Like even the way we move, like the way we, the way we put our arm on our window in the car, just these little things, these habits that we've developed over time, is that creating pain without realizing it, without us actually being aware?
Well, okay, we're talking about compensation patterns now. Compensation patterns show up in a number of ways. One is they can be work related. Okay, let's just kind of break this idea down. Work related patterns. How do I spend my day at my work? What is my profession? What are the repetitive movements that I do regarding my work? What are the familial patterns? What kind of influences my family had on me? Do I mimic the way my mom and dad walk? Do I was there heavy reprimand or guilt or shame that changes how I walk through life? There's even cultural patterns. You can look to different cultures and see how people move and various psychological imprints in how we move through life. Okay, so that's a very high level of looking at compensation patterns. And if those compensation patterns go unaddressed, then restrictions start to automatically get created at the level of the fascia in the body. Fascial restrictions show up to actually support the dysfunctional pattern. Why? Because it takes too much muscle. It takes too much strength to work against it. So the body starts laying down scar tissue, thinking that it's doing a good thing and that it's helpful. And in a sense, it is. But then there comes a point where that pattern really starts to work against you. Muscles actually do start to fatigue and then pain and then we could say arthritis and degeneration, things like that start to set in. Now, let's work from the inside out and go the other direction. You could have an injury, for me, I'm pretty sure I grew up in kind of a ranch setting in rural Colorado. My dad was a veterinarian. My foot got stepped on by horses multiple times. It's just part of being around large animals. And later in my, gosh, probably in my early 50s, I started to feel arthritis in my big toe. Now, I didn't really flash back to that, but there's an injury that happened many, many years ago that I wouldn't really give it a second thought that starts to show up later in my life. If I don't address that pain, and if I don't address that restricted movement that wants to keep showing up, your body will in a sense it the well the medical term is called splinting. It will protect around a an injury to keep it from moving, to help stabilize the joint and minimize pain. Okay, but does it really work? No, because we have to walk and get on with our life. So the yoga is designed exactly to address issues like that, like big toe arthritis, knee arthritis, specific joint pain that starts to radiate out into the body. It addresses that. So now you can see how if a little limp due to a pain, like a big toe arthritis or a knee arthritis, that now there's a limp, now there's a compensation pattern, and everything starts to evolve around that. The compensation reinforces the restriction, the restriction brings pain, and pain reinforces the compensation pattern. And I call that the cycle of pain. It's in my book. And we have to clearly identify that cycle of pain so that we can find an Avita Yoga shape to begin to interrupt that cycle. And as we interrupt that cycle, then we get into the healing cycle. And that's what makes all the difference.
Yeah, I remember when I started learning about the fascia system and how important that was. I talk about this openly on the show all the time, but I had 20 years of my life where I was going through an active addiction. And because of that, I was closed in. So I was in fight or flight all the time. And my body started to kind of like close in. Like I looked like I had the body of an 80-year-old lady who was like kind of closed in because my body was so used to being in like fight or flight, that like protective stance. And I started doing work on my fascia, and I didn't realize that the fascia, like literally, like you talked about the horse stepping on your toe, holds that story inside of it. So as I started working on opening up my chest and, working on my spine, I was actually seeing images of those parts of my life as my fascia was being worked on. It's so fascinating how the body holds on to these traumas and how they can come back, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, and we might not connect the two, but the body remembers everything.
That's right. The body never forgets. And so you start to feel the ramifications of that. And good for you for recognizing it early on, especially in your youth. Your tissues are now in really still in their most pliant stage. And so you can affect a change pretty quickly. But yeah, it's a you know, I'm trained as a Rolfer, which is a form of body work that specifically addresses the fascia. And that training has influenced the yoga and how I lead my life and all kinds of things. But the unwinding, I call it unwinding. At its very, very best, yoga is an undoing or an unwinding. And so we're going into those tissues. Sometimes we're going deep into a joint, which sounds kind of scary to people. But if you go very slow, you're very thoughtful, you listen carefully to the cues, we go directly into the sensation. If it gets to be too painful, we reduce pressure. It's a whole nother topic about how we're conditioned to seek comfort and avoid pain. And good always comes when we're willing, just as you were, Lisa, to go inside and look at the trauma, look at the pain, look at the addiction, and start to unwind it.
And I think a big frustration for people out there is that they feel like they're doing everything right. It's the people who are eating well and have a well-balanced life and they're going to the gym, they're super active, but they still deal with joint pain. Can you talk to us a little bit about why that is?
Well, yeah, I can explain that. It's because we don't yet have a fully accepted paradigm for joint health. I'm just going to say that again because that's an important idea. A paradigm is a kind of a universally accepted way of thinking. And our universal way of thinking so far has been about stretching. Okay, yoga came into the Western world in the 40s, in the 50s and 60s. This whole idea about stretching, the book on stretching came out. Stretching became a phenomena. Then running and cardio became a phenomena. The muscle fitness idea in the back of the magazines came in soon after that. And so we developed these paradigms for stretching, for strength conditioning, strength training, and aerobic conditioning. Now, enough time has gone by, we can look back on those things and say, wait a minute, we've gotten really extreme about some of them. And are they really working? To your very point here, Lisa, we're decades into all that, and we're looking at it going, scratching our heads going, is it really working? And I raised my hand and say, no, it is not working. Partly because the human condition is deeply attracted to this idea that more is better, and that if more is better, then extremes or creating extreme idea around something is better still. You know, like hucking tractor tires around and doing all this sort of extreme things to generate strength. Well, I'm here to tell you, muscle bulk has nothing to do with strength. I've had many classes where I've had 60, 70-year-old women who've been in the practice, who've resolved joint pain, resolved lots of restrictions in their body. They just keep coming back to the practice for maintenance. They love it because it generates a deep sense of peace and presence inside. But there they are, practicing right next to a 27-year-old Boulder, Colorado college athlete who just thought they'd come in and try one of my classes. And they can't sustain some of the simplest shapes that we do, specifically or especially when it becomes to any kind of grasp reflex, grasping. And it's kind of it's interesting and a little bit funny to see it happen, but they can't hang in there and they get upset and inside they don't come back to class because it doesn't add up for them. It doesn't make sense because they know they're super strong and capable. But when we drop inside to really find the restrictions, we actually learn strength is not necessarily something that you pursue. Anybody at any age can find the blockages or the obstacles to strength. Now, if you just sit with that idea, meditate with that idea long enough, it will start to actually dawn on you. Wait a minute. I try to open the jar of the lid of a jar, and I get this weird pain. I just don't feel capable. Okay, let's find that blockage. Let's find that obstacle. And then all of a sudden, the strength that is already inherent in you just starts to come through. A lot of that is tied into the nervous system. A lot of that is tied into joint health, fascial restrictions, and things like that. And as you unwind it, there is this inherent strength and freedom that just starts to come through. So, I mean, going back to your question, we have these paradigms that we've fully accepted. We are starting to question them, which is why we're here. And it's why I've heard you interview other people similar on your show. We're questioning, why is it this doesn't work? Well, we need a way to specifically address the joints, the fascia around them, and the nerve system. You have to get to it all simultaneously in order to get sustainable results. That's what we want, sustainable results.
So talk to us a little bit about the moment you realized that the traditional way of looking at joints and recovery wasn't working. Was there a moment in your life that kind of flipped that switch for you in your mind, which caused you to dive deeper into this and then come up with your paradigm and your teachings?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, I was the son of a veterinarian in rural Colorado, Gunnison, Colorado, in the 60s and 70s. And from the time I could function as a 5 or 6 year old, I was with my dad going on calls. I mean, I went on calls with him. Some of my earliest memories, probably I was 3 or 4, I was with my dad on large animal calls. And then as soon as I could, I was helping him with surgeries. And so I had my hands in everything. I'd come back from, if we'd go out at 4 in the morning, he'd get me up before school to help him go deliver a calf, and in sub-zero temperatures, and I would be coming back, and while he was drinking coffee out of his thermos, he'd be quizzing me on the physiology and the anatomy. And so he wanted me to go into vet medicine, and I thought I'd go into human medicine because I learned an enormous amount about anatomy and physiology and how the body works. But I got burned out on it by the time I was in high school. I was ready to move on to something different. And it's in college where I discovered yoga. This was in about 1985. Walked into my first yoga class, had no clue. I can't even remember how I ended up there. Nobody knew what yoga was, hardly. And but it moved me. I felt really good after doing this one class. And I turned to the teacher and I said, "What is this? What's this thing called yoga?" And he said, "Yoga means to join." And I thought, why did we just spend an hour pulling ourselves apart if yoga means to join? And I knew in that class where we were stretching, I knew in my heart, muscles are not designed to stretch. There is nothing stretchy about a muscle. Do they extend? Yes. Do they release? Yes. Can they be bound by fascial restrictions? Yes. But does muscle tissue stretch? No. Now, there's plenty of people that will argue with me on that, and I won't argue. I'll go to the four characteristics of muscles, that science has given us for many years. I cover it in the book. What are the four characteristics of muscles? And stretching is not among them. Elasticity is, but the definition of elasticity is for a material of any kind to return to its original shape once it's distorted. And that is a characteristic of muscle. So I've been questioning yoga ever since I discovered it. I owned a yoga studio here in Boulder for 10 years. My practice and study as a rolfer completely changed my paradigm about stretching because I learned pretty quickly that flexibility does not equal comfort. There are plenty of very flexible people who are very uncomfortable in their bodies. So flexibility does not equal comfort. In fact, I know plenty of stiff and rigid people who are more comfortable in their bodies than flexible people. And I address that. I address all that in the book. If you're kind of wondering why you don't like to stretch, there's a very good reason for it. And I cover that in the book. And to take it yet another step, there is a difference between flexibility and mobility. We can gain mobility, which has to do with joint movement and health, by targeting them. It's very different, very, very different than pretty much every other yoga paradigm out there, which is focused on strengthening and stretching, strengthening and stretching, strengthening and stretching. And if you just keep doing that, you will get to a point, usually in your 50s and 60s, where, wait a minute, something isn't working here.
So I was just going to ask you about what makes your approach to yoga different than traditional yoga or fitness. So you've created a Vita yoga and it's completely different than any yoga. That's the first thing you said to me when I told you that I did yoga. You said, "Well, I bet you haven't done this type of yoga before." So what makes yours so different than traditional yoga?
Well, I think I've been talking to that since we've got on this call, really. We don't strengthen and stretch the muscles. We use the muscles to get to the joints. And when we get to the joints, when we get close to the bones, we automatically have a very natural back door into the nervous system. And as I mentioned earlier, we have to bring the nervous system along for the ride. Now, are you going to get to that in a typical vinyasa class or an Iyengar class or a hot yoga class? Maybe a tiny, tiny bit, but we have not been taught how to condition our bones and our joints. We know joints, or we know bones love pressure. We know that. Otherwise, we get this thing called osteoporosis. And if you send an astronaut into space too long, they come back with weak bones. So we need pressure. What we don't realize is that joints also thrive with the proper amount of compression and pressure. And so that's the nature of the practice. And by the way, also found that working with the muscles, especially in yoga, gets really boring. It gets really repetitive. There's only so many things you can do with your muscles. But when it comes to joints, the variety is practically endless. The number of shapes, not poses, but the number of shapes that I have is, close to 1,000 different shapes that keep the student never ever knowing what shape is coming next. We need the variety for the health of the bones and the joints, but we also need the variety to keep the mind present. Like, I bet you anything, Lisa, when you go to your typical vinyasa class, you have a pretty good idea what, like, maybe one or two poses that are coming next after you do the one. Your mind is already ahead. And guess what? Where does healing occur?
In the present moment.
Yes.
You use a phrase I want to ask you about. So you say you repurpose muscles to cleanse the joints. Can you tell us what that means in simple terms?
Well, cleansing the joints. I can tell you in simple terms. I rewrote this chapter in the book multiple times to get it super clear and super understandable, because the science is all there. Every doctor I've ever talked to, and I've talked to a lot of doctors, I've had numerous doctors, PTs, and nurses and such in my classes over the years, and they love the yoga. Every single one that I've ever talked to about the yoga, and I say, "Hey, do you remember in pre-med learning about the bones and how they like pressure? And do you remember learning how there's a synovial membrane wrapped around every joint? Okay, well, that's why we have synovial joints." Okay, yeah, I remember that. Synovial joints wrapping around the synovial membrane wrapping around the synovial joint. Okay, what's it filled with? Synovial fluid. Right? You know that, right, Lisa? You with me?
I'm with
Every
you.
articulating joint in the body, even the ones along the spine, have a little tiny wrapping of synovial membrane around them. It contains synovial fluid inside. What are the qualities of the synovial fluid?
It would have to be smooth, right?
The
I don't know
fluid
if I can
itself.
articulate this. The fluid itself, I'm not sure. I'm
It has
thinking
to be.
elastic. I'm thinking of an elastic band.
Okay, the fluid. Okay, I'm talking about the fluid inside a joint. It's kind of watery, but if it's too watery, it wouldn't have lubricating qualities, right? It has a
Right. So I'm
that's
picturing
called
like an egg, like the consistency of an egg or something.
That's close. It's actually very, very similar to plasma. Think blood plasma. It's very similar to plasma, and it has a viscous quality. Oil that you use to lubricate your engine in your car has a viscosity to it. So viscosity creates is a lubricant. Okay, so that's and it has a lot. It has the hyaluronic acid. It's got proteins in there. It's got all the good stuff to keep our joints healthy, the cartilage inside the joint healthy. See, this is where the yoga happens. We got to go inside the joint because we're not going to doctors to get muscles replaced, are we? We're going
No.
for joint surgery. So this is where the problem is, and this is what we have to address. So there's all these nutritional, lovely qualities of the synovial fluid trapped inside the synovial membrane. It's nourishing the joint. But the cartilage itself inside the joint is living tissue. Where there's living tissue, in order for it to stay living, it has to sort of repopulate itself. Cells renew themselves, and different cells inside the body renew themselves over certain periods of time. For cells to renew themselves, they use energy to renew themselves, and wherever there's energy used, there is waste byproducts. Your body has all kinds of ways to get rid of waste. It goes from the cellular level into the lymph, into the blood, the liver, the kidneys. Eventually, we got to get it to the outside world. The same way a factory needs to get, a factory that produces energy, it's got to get the waste out. Otherwise, you're going to have a very toxic environment inside the factory and the workers are going to get sick. This is going full circle back to the beginning of our conversation. It's not aging. It's not wear and tear that bring arthritis and joint pain. They may be subtle contributing factors, but I'm here to tell you, if you start to take responsibility and do the yoga, you can change the environment inside your joints and make it healthy. So back to the analogy. We have waste byproducts being produced inside of the joint. Where do those waste byproducts go? Out in your tissues and your muscles and your skin, it goes into the lymph and the blood system and it's taken away and cleansed. Inside your joint, those waste byproducts are excreted into the synovial fluid. Does that sort of raise a red flag? Uh-oh. The synovial fluid inside my joint is becoming toxic. What am I going to do? Well, laying around on the couch isn't going to fix it. Going for a run or going to the gym and pushing some weights around might put enough pressure in there to get some of it to move out. But this is where all the doctors will agree. Oh, yeah, it's pressure inside the joint. I have pictures and diagrams, and I explain this very well in the book. Pressure inside the joint moves the fluid and its waste products through the synovial membrane, where it's picked up by the lymph and the blood vessels, taken away and cleansed. Without that consistent pressure, that doesn't happen. And the waste begins to build up. And where the waste builds up, now you have a toxic environment. The cartilage can no longer stay healthy and it starts to degrade. We call that arthritis. And in severe cases, we call it degenerative disease.
Right. So it shows up as pain in the body, some sort of pain, or the inside starts to, it's like it eats at the healthy
That's the
tissue,
problem,
the
though.
cartilage inside.
It doesn't show up as pain until it's too late, usually. If you
Right.
catch it right away, like I remember the very first time I was walking through a parking lot and I had this pain in my big toe. I thought, oh my gosh, there's arthritis starting to come in. And I've been addressing it ever since. And that pain, every once in a while, a little bit of it shows up, but I have to work on my big toe all the time.
Right.
But now it's just simple maintenance. So, but without it, the pattern that we talked about earlier starts to show up, which reinforces the limitation, which creates a little fear, which keeps us from really getting into the joint, which furthers the arthritis and the degeneration. And so again, we've got to find a way to interrupt that process and do something that brings a lasting change.
Right, by getting deep into the root cause of that. So, in your book, Mobility for Life, you talk about the difference between pain and healing. So, I just want you to simply explain to the audience so they can understand the difference in their own body.
Well, it's I can explain it, Lisa. I dedicate many chapters to this in the book. The first thing you have to understand is the body picks up on all different kinds of sensation. Some people with very loose constitutions feel very little sensation. So they go chasing sensation because they want to feel their body, and they think that if I chase the sensation and I feel sensation, that I'm doing a good thing. But that's not always and kind of rarely the case. So we don't chase sensation. We come into the shapes to let the sensation of a restriction, the sensation of tightness, sometimes a little more directly, a little sensation of pain starts to show up. And this is the one skill. Think about all the skills you had to learn in your vinyasa class, Lisa. How to do the pose right, how to look right, how to, all that. Forget about that with the Vita Yoga. There's no getting it right. If I have a room full of 50 students and I look around and I say, okay, everybody's sitting, let's just say it's a Virasana, it's a shape where we there's 50 different shapes in the room, and I teach in a way so there's really 50 different classes going on. I teach slow enough and deliberate enough. Really, each person in the room is having a private session because that's what it takes to slowly enter into the problematic area and begin to discern the difference between pain and healing sensation. That is the one skill that Avita students seek to learn. And now, after many, many years, I'm still refining it. It's really fun and productive to observe how that changes over time and how initially how attractive pain actually is to a lot of people. They push into the pain because what have we been taught in the 60s? It's still here today. Pain, there's no pain, or there's no gain without pain, which is completely, totally false. If you believe pain is gain, then you better be being paid a lot of money for what you're doing, because someday you're going to need that money to for the things, the surgeries and things to kind of bring yourself back to health. But so pain and gain will kind of work in a worldly sense for in a professional sense, but physically and health-wise, it does not. And that's why when you discern and experience healing sensation, you know in your heart it's being truly helpful. And we know we're in healing sensation when it moves us toward an inner sense of peace, which is one of the goals of yoga.
Yeah, you said something interesting to me that I always think about it when I'm in a yoga class. And So I typically go to these hot yoga classes, and whether it be Ashtanga or Vinyasa flow or Yin. But you're right, the instructor is teaching us poses and to be in a certain pose. And my body just doesn't seem to function that way or work that way. And so I find myself feeling like my body needs something else, because if I'm not able to move that way, then I need to adjust for my body. So I feel like it is really important to understand that every single body is so different, and what my body can do, someone else's may not be able to do. So I really like how you acknowledge that every single body is different and needs a different movement, even if it's something small, like a little tweak. Because I've always wondered, like, oh, why can't I move like that person over there that seems to be so flexible? And in my mind, I always tied the most flexible person to the most healed, in a sense, because I felt like, oh, their body
We
is
all
so
do.
open. Yeah, their body is so open, so they must,
It ain't
have
true.
processed and have figured out the way to do everything. So I find that really interesting. Do you think pain and sensation is, how much of it is tied to the physical and how much of it is tied to the nervous system or stress? What would you say?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, let's, I know you've invited me back for another podcast in this series. Let's hold this idea that you just had about how your body is different than every other body in the room and how you felt yourself bumping up against that resistance. Even, I can tell as a you have an athletic way about you, you're youthful. So even with a body that presents like it would certainly enjoy most of the stuff in those yoga classes, you're still bumping up against a little resistance. So let's make that a topic next time. Now, or at least include it. Let's answer your question, which was, is pain physical or is it more neurological or psychological, right?
Right, is it tied to the physical, or how much of it is tied to the nervous system or stress?
It's a big question. And I have a lot to say about it. And I know we're near the end of our time. Maybe we should make that a topic too. But let me see, what can I say in just a few words? Okay, I'm going to start with it like this. We know there's been these studies done where they will do MRIs of, say, they'll do an MRI scan of the lumbar region on 100 random people. And then they ask these people, do you have back pain? And they'll say, they'll list it out. And they'll say yes, no, or they'll describe it. And then they compare their answer to what they see. And none of it adds up. So people who have degenerative arthritis will say, I have no pain. And yet from the MRI, it sure looks like they should have pain. And then it goes the
Right.
other way. You've heard those studies, and I bring those studies into the book and I talk about them. There are methods out there to basically think your pain away. And I don't think it's any more effective than taking an Advil or taking medication to have your pain go away. If there's pain, there's a reason for it. It's a messenger. And simply thinking it away is going to miss taking some sort of action that will actually rectify the problem. And I've been at this long enough now. I'm 62 years old, and I've had many students practicing with me well over 10 years. And I've seen people with and without surgeries. I've seen people come and go. And actually recently I had a student say to me, He said, "Yeah, I was one of those people. I had low back pain. I signed up for this clinic where I was trained to meditate and think my pain away, and I got good at it and it worked. Well, guess what? The problem remained. And now it's been about 10 years for him. He's been practicing with me now for about 3 years. And the pain is back. And lo and behold, the degeneration and stuff that was there 10 years ago is still there." So earlier in our conversation, you mentioned this idea about pain and whether or not it shows up with the problem. Think about that is part of the problem, is that the problem can be there for years, and then one day the pain shows up. That's how a lot of toothaches are. One day your jaw just kind of blows up and swells up. Well, there's been decay going on for probably 5, 6, 7 years. The body's pretty good at pushing the pain down as long as it can to keep us doing what we want to do. But then eventually it gets bad enough where it comes to the surface. And so we want to catch it. We want a toolbox full of tools. Vita Yoga shapes are phenomenal at it. So that when we first feel the pain coming on, we can address it head on and early on. That's ideal. So I don't, for me, it doesn't even really matter. Is the pain psychological? Is it emotional? Is it imagined? Is it physical? It just doesn't even matter. We got to follow it in and get to the root of it. It could be just an old memory. It could be an old emotional trauma that happened when we were in high school. It doesn't have to be physical, but whatever it is, that pain must be sourced, and the solution is always where the source is. We just got to follow it
Yeah,
in.
absolutely. I think a lot of people are frustrated with, they have issues with the body and they go get blood work done or they get x-rays or they get whatever, an MRI, and nothing is found. And I think what we're getting at is there's so many complex things. The body is so complex, and there are ways to treat the root of the problem. And if I'm being honest, I think for many people, it's laziness, is not wanting to take that time to actually do the work that it takes in order to heal the body. And so there's so many of these so-called quick fixes out there that are promoted, and they look bright and shiny to people because people think that if they take this medication that it's going to fix their issue, but all it does is mask it. It's like a band-aid, and over time it's going to come back tenfold. So I think, taking this stuff really seriously and looking into it, understanding it, and putting in the work, whether it be 20 minutes a day, in order to move the body and get at those deep joints and tissues and get into those is so important. There's no easy way. And so healing the body takes so much time. I do know that I stubbed my toe. I think I told you the story, but I stubbed my toe when I was super relaxed and so zened out. And it barely hurt. And I remember stubbing my toe when I was already really agitated and angry, and it hurt so badly. So there's definitely a connection between nervous system and stress and pain. But how much of that, what that means, we're not quite sure, right? Because there's the body is so complex and everything is changes over time. And I think getting to the root causes of these issues is so important. So Jeff, I've really enjoyed talking to you today, and you've really brought up some great points. Where can people find more information about the work that you do and your book?
Well, the book can be found at the same place. I have my online practice. I share the practice online. I also have workshops around the country and retreats. I have a retreat on the East Coast at the Himalayan Institute. I'm going to be at the Berkshire Yoga Festival in June. But you can find me always at avitayogaonline.com. And under resources, you can find the book. You can also get the book directly by going to mobilityforlifebook.com. And there's some cool bonuses. You get some free classes. And if you buy the book on my website through all the different channels, you can get it through Amazon, Barnes and Noble. But if you go through my website, then you'll get some super cool bonuses.
Amazing,
Thanks
amazing.
for
And
asking,
before,
Lisa.
yeah, before we go, what would you say to someone who feels like their body is breaking down?
Oh, someone who just feels like their body's breaking down, like they're starting to give up hope.
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah. Well, you mentioned the word laziness earlier. I would say it's not a word that I use. I would say complacency. What happens is we get complacent and then we point our finger at our medical system. We point our finger at the insurance companies. We point our finger at the medicines that sort of work, but then don't work. And so no matter what condition our body is in, it starts with just taking a little tiny responsibility for how you see it. This is what we talked about earlier. So you just close your eyes, and you said earlier, if you just give your body 20 minutes and it takes a long time to work with the body, I would say, yeah, it can take a long time to turn the body around, but it doesn't have to. When you really start to get to the source of the problem, the body can turn around quite quickly because it wants to be healthy. So I would say 20 minutes even can seem like a long time for some people. Take 20 seconds and ask for a better way. That's all you got to do. You just say, I want a better way, and leave it at that. It's like a gentle meditation or a gentle prayer. And I know a lot of people feel like their body is just falling apart, but take 20 seconds and say, I want a better way. And then see what happens. Give it some time.
Thank you so much for being here today, Jeff. I truly look
Yeah.
forward to future episodes in the series where we're going to go deeper on these issues, including more of the nervous system stuff. I'm truly looking forward to those episodes.
Okay, me too, Lisa. I'll see you next time.
You bet. And thank
Namaste.
you so much to our audience, for tuning in. If this episode shifted how you see your body even a little bit, then that's the point, because you aren't broken. You've just been running these patterns that you've learned over time, and you have the power to change those patterns. Jeff's work and his programs and his book, Mobility for Use, will be in the show notes linked for you to have access to, so you can stop managing the pain and start recovering and being full of vitality and energy like you were designed to be. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until next time, take care, everyone.